Take a long, hard look at yourself. Self. Your personal reflective thoughts, whatever the fuck you think you are. Finding yourself takes more and more every time you lose it. Lose it? You've lost it. Long ago and every other day since. What happened to that pleasant little kid? Almost pleasant. Bit of a twat, product of his time, middle class suburbia with her hip seasonal diseases, spring summer day wear anxiety and autumn winter evening breast bipolar. Oh, their age these days, don't you know? But he was such a pleasant little kid. Well, almost pleasant. Always did think himself a bit better than those below. Almost pleasant kid. Loud enough, though. Blind, hubris, patting himself on the back of right place, right time. After all, sure, it was his own feet that got him there. But the kid's lost it. Lost himself to blind privilege. Losing sight more each day, but smiles. Smiles even when his world collapses, still patting his own back. He's long since quit the effort of finding himself.
Thank you, Jude. Next we'll have Linda Edison.
Hey! This is a poem about Kinsale, a place I adore. Delighted it's been published in North Carolina. So homage to Kinsale. As night's obsidian curtain lifted, the skylark heralds the dawn chorus in my demise neck of duck-egg blue. From my balcony, a mirage of matchstick masts navigate the thirsty mouth of the harbour, and my skin drinks it all in. Sometimes when I bury myself in myself, never quite reaching the point when thinking stops, I unlatch the door. Drink tea and savour wildberry tart at Poet's Corner, or stroll to the Spaniard where the swans dance to Francesca's mandolin. And in my solitude, I feel quietly content. I look at life in black and white at the gallery, buy a chiffon scarf from Stone Mad, peacock feathers with hand-stitched beads, and fly it like a kite on the beach. After sundown, you'll find me in the black pig, sipping a glass of red, satisfied with the feeling that finally I have arrived.
Well, next, could we please call Mary O'Connell?
This is just about two strangers meeting and what might have been. It's called Listowel Meeting. Sidling back, he is caught in her field of gravity. I watch their spiky dance, strangers moving in and out. He tells her how he spent the small hours hanging the collection. Painting is her passion. Their voices gather urgency, questioning, disclosing. He, raw from his mother's death, lost in an empty house. She, seeming eager, unpacking secrets that bring him close, weaving her usual spell. Each outdoes the other as they laughingly recall Brian McMahon, John B. Keane, Kerry writers that they love. I catch a tiny tremor as his nicotine-stained finger points out certain readings that to be held the following day. Hesitation in the voice that tells us he has beds to spare. I sneak a questioning look, ready to agree. She shakes her head, pulls out her mobile phone. He learns that she has sons and needs to hit the road. Crushing his cigarette, he walks us to the car, turns his head away before the door clicks shut.
Thank you, Mary. Next could we ask on Tony O'Shea.
Called Silk in My Hands. The long dance that is life is curious to consider. We step in and out, not always sure of our part. Life pulls us this way, and love pulls us that. But what really gets us are affairs of the heart. Music, it takes us, spurred on by the band. I'll always remember, she moved like silk in my hands. The music has stopped now, and sadly, she's gone. But the dance that is life, cruelly, goes on. All we are dancers, it's what we must do. Get up each morning and learn to dance anew. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Next we've got Charles Clark, please.
Vickery's Hotel Bantry is a very old hostelry which was burnt down the Troubles and rebuilt. That's relevant to the first two lines, I think. Vickery's Hotel Bantry. From the street entrance on a damp day, the hall with its welcome fire had an Edwardian air. You notice the Shakespearean prince, Lady Macbeth, brought to crown herself one of the Henrys, and Cymbeline. Nothing had changed for years in a town where nothing had changed for years. Entering the hotel bar from the yard, you met the Protestant barmaid of the famous Irish language poem. Literature is everywhere in Ireland. And upstairs, in the old dining room, after Sunday Mass, my uncle was discussing the sermon.
Thank you, Charles. And could we ask Niamh Pryor to the back now?
Hey! This is a poem about premeditation. It's called Insight. I tried it that way. What would Atticus Finch do? The talking, the listening, the understanding. Then I poured a pint of Guinness, I'd ordered specially, over Ashley's head and felt much better.
Thank you, Niamh. Thank you for choosing a short one as well. Next, could we ask Emily Weitzman?
I wrote this today in Kinsale. Cut me off if it's too long. I don't know if I can read into it.
Okay, I will.
It's a rant. When I walked into the cafe, I felt judged. Not by any particular person, not really. The particular people were nice looking with generally warm expressions on their faces. It was more the space itself that was judging. The walls were full of bookshelves, and the bookshelves were full of books, which makes sense since the cafe was called the Poet's Corner, and you're meant to read while you're drinking cafe coffee in there. So I should have expected the books and the bookshelves, each 390 euros unless priced otherwise, which is extremely reasonable, but since the presence of books filled with books on a bookshelf are often bring up the unpleasant realization that you have read no particular book on a particular bookshelf. So what have you been doing with your life, unless, of course, you have read a particular book on a particular bookshelf, in which case, good job. You deserve to be sitting in this bookshelf-filled cafe. Go have a seat, you good reader, you. It wasn't just the bookshelves, it was also the seating arrangement, not the particular seats, which were white with fairly comfortable-looking red cushions, but the fact that the seating arrangement was such that there was no more seats for me. And how do you feel welcome to a cafe when there is no place for you to put your butt inside of it? Getting the coffee to go and taking a stroll with it is always a nice option, but I wanted a salad too, plus it was raining outside because Ireland. I strolled through the seatless seating arrangement with a look of nonchalance, trying to give off the maybe I'll stay or maybe I won't, as opposed to the please dear God, somebody leave so I don't have to go back out there in the fucking rain vibe. Made my way to the counter where I was greeted by a kind waiter told that the old couple in the back looked like they were leaving soon, or maybe I could share the table with the lady sitting on the book, which she may or may not have taken off the bookshelf in the cafe, I thought, and I wondered if she had read any particular books on the particular bookshelf. I had only looked at one shelf as a part of my walking to the counter with nonchalance act, but I had not read any books on that shelf labeled crime, which I probably could have told you before I looked, because I don't think I've read any books labeled crime in my entire life, and I don't really understand why anyone would want to read something that could end up unpleasant, but maybe the lady sitting alone at that table loves crime novels, and I don't judge her for that. I sat down next to her, and she said she would be leaving soon anyway. The books on the shelf began to start looking like real friends again, and real friends don't judge you, even if you've never read them. The seating arrangement gradually shifted as particular people finished and left, and pretty soon I became one of the particular people, and other particular people looked at me when they first entered the cafe. I too tried to give a little smile when they entered, not too creepy or anything, just enough of a turn on the lip to give off the "you're welcome here, feel free to stay for an hour, feel free to stay for 2 hours, stay till it stops raining in Ireland" kind of vibe, because I was now a part of the cafe and I had the authority to give off those kind of vibes. My coffee came and there was a biscuit in the shape of a heart, and I stayed for 3 hours and ordered apple crumble and another coffee too. I watched the rain from my comfortable cushion, and when I was ready to leave, I knew things had changed. The seating arrangement completely empty, the books falling off the shelves in despair. I curtsied to the bookshelves as we said our sad goodbye. "Don't cry," I whispered as I gently shut the door and opened my broken umbrella. "You're welcome to my home anytime."
Thank you, Emily. Next, could we have our five-word champion, Owen Murray?
Band of clothes, ephemeral through an open tunnel, communal air, nodding heads, slowly, discard, harmony, out of card, community yet individual, spirit ritual, rite of passage into this pub on a cloud, a common cloud of the mind. The bodies rejoice, the bodies will rejoice.
First plan.
This is a dark poem, but it's like a journey I'm going on at the moment, and just trying to understand a few things. "Mare, mare dear, come here. Lay, stay, comfort down on my chest, and stay here for the night. Make me pale, make me wail. Make me feel like I'm frozen, make me trapped, kidnapped, far from where my body lays. But may I learn from me, hear from me. There's something there worse than you. Hope piggybacks on my shoulders through the nights and also stays during the days. While you only visit in random times, hope stalks every hour. And you are all so more beautiful. Full moon blue eyes, full moon glow skin, full moon eyes, full moon earth texture touch. But hope has no form, only licks and tickles me with reminders of happy futures, and laps up bitter darkness when the time chimes past the hours when I taught I will hold true person's kiss." Thank you.
Next, we have Ray Henran.
All right. This one is called Traffic. It's, I suppose, an attempt to, I suppose, make the unremarkable, I suppose, sound remarkable. Traffic. The cars and trucks whiz by, slowed down on this tarmac vessel. Destinations intersect, now related in time but still independent, their paths co-located, allocated, my memory has to stay fresh. The fumes of the long geologic death give this vantage on this bridge its definitive fragrance, exhaust. The traffic lights pulse, the metal corpuscles mill forward in stages, tangle with each other without exchange of contents, untangle and go on their varied ways. Home, work, or holidays. Me, standing on the verge, close enough to be hit by buses, the edge of the curb and the verge of the road. Fumes, wheels, so many wheels. What people, what flow. The city's lifeblood made visible before me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Next we have Jen Leary. Jen Leary?
This is the first thing I ever wrote, and it was a cathartic experience. Someone cheated on me, and this was a continued stream of consciousness that I wrote. I've played it out many times, a conversation that we never had. What's the point? There's nothing new you can say. No gesture you can make to repair the pieces back and return to where we both lay. Resting by your side, laid my head on your shoulder, the most peaceful sleep that I had ever made. Dwell over the facts and fiction, sturdy emulsion, never to settle, let it lay.
Thank you, Jen. And Patricia Walsh.
Think what is called keyhole surgery. Invasive in the least, a deserved reckoning. Transgendered allowance scores my thighs. Confusing the enemy, a silver matrimony. Seeing suitors before they even arrive. Complicated delights undo the best of us. Explanations sing over alcoholic joy. Early morning equations call to night. Following necessities of reputation adhered. Each one is better than the last. Whittling the pencil down to the stump. Scouting for a razor is inexpensive, at most, on the mercy of the giver. Periodic bollards did work once, punctuating railings of our own safety. The white decrepit house miraculous days, come heaven a high height, a dread deserted building. Elephant in the lobby, limestone plinths remain among hanging baskets decorous. Sweeping ward where no one is intended. Rating on the street, across the skater boys. Deep as humans can be, I concede defeat. Writing out of existence, boredom stilled. Paid to fight the existence of indifference, from whom it seems the borough has failed. Thank you.
Thank you, Trish. Next here we have Borko. Borko.
Just try to translate. You stop once on the road to see who you are and where you are in desert land, where you meet them. Will you recognize the one you meet there? As the many road, and a day gets short. And every time it was hard for me to get back to where I was, to stay in touch with the bond. Or dreams of freedom without fear, I dream, or perish, or bloom. Should I stop or become? The one that loves me, all his heart. Every time it was harder to get what I dreamed, as long as I was down, half strength, no will, less I care.
That's a real life translation from the Croatian. That's great. Thanks, Borko. Shane Bourne, please.
Hey. I was going to do a very long poem, but that's been done. So anyone's talked to me about the Stanzas Festival, and the last words. This one's called Eclipse. She passed in, blocking the light. She passed out. We were better for the dark.
You know what makes me happy, MC. He can get short in that. Come on, I dare you. Aaron Lewis, please.
This is an introduction to a book that I'm writing called Tales of the Balloon Man. Tales of the Balloon Man, okay, sorry. Live full lives, leave some record, Desmond O'Grady. It was 10 a.m. in the morning. Eddie said we're going to plant the old potatoes. I was feeling queasy, my mind was tired and my stomach a little churny. Get into the cab with me, in the firm direct voice, said Eddie. The cab of the big green fenced German tractor with long telescopic wheels extending out in front. Eddie's a large man with thick farmer hands, balding head with tufts of brown hair on the sides. Born in Kenya to an English father and an Irish mother. His accent British sounding with a throwback of Kenyan. Off the tractor rolled up the boring on this mild, dry spring morning with the potato planter affixed to the back and Lucky, the black and white Springer Spaniel, in tow. The potato planter is shaped like an oblong loaf tin with about half the size of a small car. Inside the basin of the planter there are two tracks. These are about 3 foot apart. These tracks have little round compartments shaped like the bottoms of Red Bull cans. The tracks move vertically as the tractor moves forwards. The potatoes are picked up in the compartments and move along like a conveyor belt. The potatoes are dropped in the freshy part of soil evenly spaced. There are two blades on the back of the planter which cover the potatoes all over the soil. My job is to stand on the board on the back of the planter and fill in any empty compartments with potatoes. The tractor is moving around 5 miles an hour. It's a cool job, the type of thing you find fun as a kid, like jumping on the back of a milk float on the way to school. When the tractor starts, there's usually a kick, like when you raise a clutch on a car. Sometimes this kick is strong enough to kick you off the back, which is fine, you just walk behind and slowly get back on. This time when the tractor went forward, I came off the back and quickened my pace slightly. I jumped on the back on the board. As I jumped, I slightly lost my balance. As I went to rebalance myself, I went to hold on to something. Instead, I put my right hand into the tracks. I screamed, the tractor came to a halt, brake supplies, fuck, fuck, fuck me, Jesus Christ, I'm howling at the top of my lungs. My two middle fingers had wedged themselves in between the metal tracks. They looked like two broken carrots, pierced by a fork, all dirty and bloody. They were stuck, I couldn't move them, my heart pounding, the stress pouring from my forehead, the pain was so intense I couldn't think. It was the most excruciating, strongest, most sustaining pain I've ever felt. As I'm wailing my head off, I'm fully present to what's happening. I'm in agony, but I'm not suffering. This pain seems to burn through all the superficial facades of my life. My mind wanders off. How did I get here? How did a 29-year-old, quarter English, quarter Irish and half Arabic man end up here in a field in West Cork with his hand caught in a potato planter?
We've still got 23 people on the mic today. 8 left, right, and we've only got, you know, 10 minutes max left, right? So please keep it short. Sean Benn, please.
Okay, quickly, audience, do you want the poem I wrote yesterday or one I wrote a year ago?
The shorter
yesterday.
One.
Yesterday.
The shorter one.
The shorter one. Alright, oh, look at that audience engagement. Brilliant. Alright, 2 seconds. Verse. Okay, I wrote what I did yesterday. Okay, is it to be days of joy or sick weight through life? His productivity shrivels as she rises. She fights to kill dark lights. He welcomes oblivion. She awaits arrivals in uncomfortable spaces. He runs away. He watches her with envy, gives affectionate respect. She hugs him every time she leaves, hoping he'll escape. When his chance arrives, he thinks of her and what she'd do. When she takes a break, she laughs at his new acts. Is it to be days of joy or a sick weight through life? Waiting with his friend, he feels sick, but manages to climb through. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Eamon McSweeney, please. Eamon McSweeney.
Bright moon that gives us light, moon that pulls our tides, plays with our minds, reflects our thoughts, four faces all in one, full new, first and last quarter.
Good night, students of the mind, please.
Last night's walk. Leaky, leafy roof. On curtain o'clock, beneath aqua drops of sky, the mosaic roof of leaves let bits of heaven through. The ash dust the ceiling here, warm still from my heart. Sycamore seeks the sky no more. It rests unmoved to spray its leaves for me. The black theatre of a stickle branch. Invisible hands of pride manipulate its limbs. Scent of honeysuckle humidifies drops of honey air. The low flying bats scud missiles so smoothly. Furry velvet things of the air make their flyover of my hair. Clever pilots of the chasm through the sleeky roof. They give the leaf's safe passage. And I send my thoughts up it and through it too. And let them go. But then my Akita calls the cattle stampede. My wolf runs with cows with joy, howling through the branches of my leaky, leafy roof. He shatters my brittle heaven. That's it.
Good night. Well, Simone Lupini. Simone Lupini? Simone? Okay.
Luckily for me and for you, I will read in Italian. Inaspettato. Tic tac, attendeva, attendeva ancora ed ancora, ma nulla cambiava. Il tempo passava, restava l'attesa, i sogni cambiavano. Restava l'attesa, lei cambiava. Tic tac, tic tac. La luce nel buio, era forse un sogno o la speranza tanto attesa? Nasce la paura, paura del buio, oltre alla luce. O della luce stessa, perché il buio lo conosce. Non conosce la luce. Tic tac, tic tac. Arriva la luce inaspettata, spaventosa e travolgente. Lo trasporta con sé e il buio è un ricordo. Tic tac, tic tac. Per rendere brillante la luce c'è bisogno di tempo, c'è bisogno di buio e di fiducia nell'inaspettato.
Thank you.
Bellissimo. Grazie Simone. Rob Carlisle, please.
Hi, I tried to write a love poem today, so I hope it's cathartic at least. When I think of days spent with you, I remember bright sunny days, more than are likely to have happened in this country. I remember bright blue skies and sunshine, and days where we squeezed together under an umbrella. When I think of days spent with you, I remember your humor and your brains, and I remember your competitiveness. I remember a day when I outdid you on a test or a paper. I remember how your voice sounded, saying, "Damn it!" When I think of days spent with you, I remember being charmed by novel flattery. You told me my voice was sing-song. You told me it was nice. You made me feel like I always had music with me. When I think of days spent with you, I think, virtues aside, there went one of me, completely and utterly. I've doubted everything else. It's worth reminding yourself how some moments can be. It's worth reminding yourself that there have been moments where you felt so happy you tried to ignore it, so as not to scare the feeling away. I think about that when I remember the days spent with you.
Thank you. Well, just a couple more now. Deirdre Crowley, please.
It's called The Boy from Ballincollig. It's a love poem. He's tall and not so young or tanned, but oh so lovely is the boy from Ballincollig. His skin is white and pure, his fabulous face is framed by lots of fine hair, the kind that is easily ruffled, smelling divine of head and shoulders. He is head and shoulders above your average guy. He's my kind of guy, smart and clever in all kinds of weather. His eyes, electric blue gems, sparkling day and night. I'm always happy to see him, I can't hide it, and then he seems happy to see me, I can't read it. It's not a story that's even begun, and maybe never will, but every time I think of him, I go a bit mushy and washy, and I smile inside. I'd like to nibble his ear and taste his neck, caress his face and soak his everythings with my love potions. I'd whisper sweet nothings to him all day long and sing for him all night long if he wanted. I'd even let him call a tune. He's my idea of yum. He doesn't even know how this crush is turning me to mush. I'm just a bit sweet on him. His perfect essence make me fizz like effervescence. Tall and tanned and not so young, but very lovely, the boy from Ballincollig, my darling dream. Let's blow town, fly high away, you and I. Let's float our boat into the sea of love and dreams and runny ice creams. Let's swim and sail and surf and claim our space in our gigantic, fantastic way. Happy together for a night or a day. Happy you and I, and I and you. Just say the words and it will come true, me and you.
Hello, Deirdre. Thank you. Hope you come back. Good to see more of you. Next, could we have Stanley Nott to the mic, please? Hey!
Thanks, Paul. Just finished today, I hope. Just a little bit. This is a new one constructed using Fleetwood Mac song titles. Hypnotized by a landslide of twisted little lies, I'm running through the garden where bare trees creep like a highwayman. Fireflies frizzle like 24 karat gold, and closing my eyes opens the door to outrage. In the cold, black night, the chain of secondhand news I'm trying so hard to forget. Carousel over and over down an endless street in the back of my mind where the eyes of the world looking for someone preaching the blues. Circle and dance, circle and dance, circle and dance. Then crash into me, dial the number to a beautiful ghost whose wild heart, emerald eyes and candle bright silver heels ask, do you know I need your love? Something inside me, an exquisite thousand-day Italian summer I'll never forget, sings for the inspiration and harmony this born enchanter has thrown down at my gate and garden. Something inside me, an edge of 17 tango in the night, sings, don't go, please stay, I need your love, I can't live without you. But I need to know what's behind the landslide of twisted little lies, that my dream of big love by a wild Saragossa sea hasn't gone into the sun. That love that burns like the blue eyes of a beautiful child isn't drifting away on death bells crying, come on home to me. So closing my eyes, I open the door to outrage. Start free falling into my bleeding heart where the ghost of no spoken word, the nightmare nights of Esterol, and a dissatisfied fire burning crystal blue denims go insane and blow by blow, twist and shout every day of these strange times, reconsider me, you and I, the way I feel about secret love, this merry-go-round of I need your love, I don't care, I need your love, I don't care, I need your love, I don't care, until I'm so afraid I have to laugh at the tragedy of my own soul. I have to laugh and encore when the ghost secondhand news or the still of the night don't stop the revelation. I need to live without you, coming home to stay. And as my heart beats like a hammer, my dream of big love by a wild Saragossa sea and the blue, blue eyes of a beautiful child say goodbye in a storm of heavenly death bells that cry, a fool no more, a fool no more. And then the ghosts are gone. And I'm running through the garden while bare trees talk to me about doing the best I can. Fireflies make freedom is not an impossible task announcements. And a nightbird sings my new soul-dressing narrative of, if you want to be happy when it comes to love, go your own way, baby. Go your own way.
Thank you, Stan. Beware your song titles. Keep them in your pocket. Last for tonight, not least, Kieran McCartan. Around here we speak not of the future. No character in the room
there a doomsday coming? Are there saints at large to lose? There's a curtain on my eyebrow, and an old man speaks of doom. Do these white spots make me pretty? Are there saints at large that loom? It's that gentle choir that haunts me. It cripples from within. As I walk the east and west wing, Lord, I can hear that choir sing. Bent over my bin, as my thoughts expel my sin. As I walk that dark corridor, I can hear that choir sing. If I have a laugh like a black bull's potion, can I hear my brothers sing? My sister cries like a misty ocean, I can see my brothers swim. The dead have led the pale, but I promise to keep the faith, Lord. Don't look at me that way, man. I'm leaning on the sword, jumping from rooftops and dreaming indoors. There's colored stones in my mind, Lord, and they're graying from that sword. Walking on the desert sands, Eli stamping on his light bulbs, Howard's bleeding from his hands. Your time. Why have you been wasting mine? And Eli cries, God, you know I wouldn't waste your time. Why have you been wasting mine? Howard sees the future on the glassy desert floor. As he throws it in the air, can't you hear that wild wind roar?
Thank you.